The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, December 30th, 2012, at the 10 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was Luke 2, verses 25 through 35. The sermon was delivered by Pastor Brian Smith, and the title of the message was The Intrusion of Grace.
Well, now that Christmas is over, we won't be seeing much of Santa Claus for a while. I'm sure he's hung up the red suit for another year and allowing the reindeer to catch their breath. But you can bet that in about 10 months, right after Halloween, we'll start getting signs of Santa's reappearance. In fact, there will be signs posted in many different malls telling you the exact date and time to show up if you want to meet Santa Claus. Well, in our next scripture reading, we're going to find a man who's been hoping and waiting to meet somebody even more important than old Saint Nick. It's not a child hoping for Christmas presents, but an old man who's been looking for the divine presence of God. He has not been told where or when he might meet his hope, but we do find out in our next scripture reading that the encounter takes place. Listen now to God's word to you as I share this story captured for us in the Gospel of Luke. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thought of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Well, when my daughter Julia was a toddler, her pediatrician told us that based on her growth chart that she would end up being about 5'10" tall. And 19 years later, we're still waiting for her to grow those final 6 inches. Sometimes predictions can be a bit off the mark, which is what the writer of Luke's gospel lets us know here in the first couple of chapters of his gospel. See, for about 800 years, the Jewish folks had predicted that God would send the Messiah, the Anointed One. And the prediction was that he would come to earth as a mighty warrior king, a man who would show up with angels in tow to slaughter the ungodly people, to scour the earth clean of all evil. And behind that cleansing would be then a time of unparalleled prosperity and peace for God's people. The Messiah would show up and would create an earthly utopia where only the righteous would be and would thrive. But Luke lets us know pretty early on in his gospel that those predictions were a bit off, and he does so through this encounter he captures for us between Simeon and the Holy Family. Mary and Joseph show up at the temple performing the customary Jewish custom of granting a sacrifice to God for the birth of their firstborn son. And while they are going through these ordinary rituals, Simeon shows up and approaches this husband and wife and the baby, and he makes this stunning declaration. "Sovereign Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, I've seen the salvation of God, Simeon says. And he says that not because he's had some profound mystical experience of seeing a vision of these heavenly warriors showing up, or believing that prosperity is just around the corner in a way that'll wipe poverty. John, the writer of the Revelation of John, comes to that same conclusion, but it takes him 21 chapters of bizarre visions to arrive at this place of saying, I have seen the salvation of God. It's not here yet, but it's coming. Well, Simeon doesn't need 21 chapters or bizarre visions. And he says salvation is not out there. He says, I've already seen it. It's here. It's arrived. Right here, right now. See, the folks had predicted that God would put on a spectacle bigger than the Super Bowl when the Messiah showed up. There would be no mistaking his arrival. But instead, we have this rather ordinary scene taking place in the temple where this husband and wife and a baby show up. And Luke says, in that most mundane, common experience, God has appeared. Salvation, says Luke, is not going to be based on what God will do in the future. It's what God has already done. It's based on who God is. And what we find out in Luke's gospel early on is that we find a God who has joined himself to us. A God who has become one of us. A God who has united himself completely to humanity. So no longer will it be God up there and us down here, or God over there and we're over there. Now it will be God and us together forever. Salvation, says Luke's gospel, is not based on what God will do, but on who God has become. That God has become human. That God has become the likes of us. And through that, Luke says that God came for a bigger reason than to save us. He came to be us. And in that decision to merge with us, God has acted in a way that no one ever, ever could have predicted. And Simeon knows that because God has done this, everything now has changed. Everything is different. Simeon knows because God fully resides in this baby. God will seek to reside in every single child, youth, and adult that will ever be born. He says that God will be a light to the Gentiles and glory to His people Israel. That the light of God, the glory of God, will now begin to shine through every person that will receive Him into their lives. That God is signaling through this ordinary encounter with this child that God yearns to be clothed in the midst of ordinary folks. From that moment on, see, God did something that no one had predicted for 8 centuries. That He would decide to arise from the depth of humanity, to be clothed in human flesh. And by doing so, God completely redefined what being human means. See, from that moment of God showing up in Bethlehem in the form of a baby, God said, now being human means that you can become a dwelling place of my presence. That being human now means that you can be joined to me in the deepest way possible. In a way that not even death itself could ever separate. That human life now becomes a matter of understanding and embracing and celebrating this God who yearns to live in the midst of each one of us. And that being born to this ordinary child, God says, I want to be born in the midst, not of just the rich and the powerful, the wise, but in the midst of every single human being. For Simeon, this means that his deepest hopes and dreams have been fulfilled. His bucket list has been satisfied. He only had one item on that list that hasn't fulfilled. And so he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. I'm ready to go. For you have answered my deepest need." Now, we don't know what happens to Simeon after this passage. There's no further reference to him in the Gospels. Perhaps God did take Simeon at that moment. Perhaps Simeon lived another 10, 20 years. Who knows? What we do know is that Simeon walked out of that temple different than when he arrived. It's always our hope here at Geneva Church, too, to come through those doors, you might leave a bit different when you arrive. Why? Because we come to meet the living Spirit of God. And the same God who is present in that temple is also present right here in this room. Simeon walked out knowing that things would now be different, because no matter what he would experience in his life, he now knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had arrived on planet Earth. And God had no plans of leaving anytime soon. That God had decided to infiltrate humanity through the most common, ordinary hiding place of all, in the midst of ordinary folks just like us. And if God can be in us, then God is liable to be just about anywhere. And because God is anywhere and everywhere, that means that what it means to be human has been redefined. That we are now here to live in ways that allow that reality to shape and transform our lives. Simeon goes forth now as a man who is described as being completely at peace, because he has now seen the single greatest reality that there is. Simeon knew all of that for one simple reason, we're told. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. See, the only way that you see something different than 800 years of expectation with creation is because God has shown up and said, "Guess what? I'm here now. Don't look up there for a cloud to descend. I'm right here in this child being held by that woman." The Spirit tipped off Simeon that something new had arrived. And we know that because of God's gift to us of that same Spirit, that same Spirit today is whispering, pointing out, touching, teaching us, guiding us to understand the reality of Christ seeking to be born within us. It's happening this very moment. The Spirit is always seeking to open our eyes, to open our hearts, to open our ears deeply to the message of this Christmas story. You know, there were scores of other babies, I'm sure, that day at the temple. And again, they were just going through ordinary routines and rituals. Nothing spectacular, nothing amazing. Just ordinary folks going through their ordinary routines, and lo and behold, God is in the midst of it all. But only Simeon saw that day what God wanted to be seen. And so I thought how easy it is for us as well to go through the Christmas season, to go through the Christmas story, and not to really see what Simeon saw. But God yearns to allow us to see, to understand, to embrace this great gift. Abby mentioned about the fact that lots of folks create resolutions as the new year begins. And one of the hopes that people often have as the new year begins is that perhaps this would be a year when peace would begin to prevail upon our planet. But Simeon tells us that the way that peace really begins to form in human culture is when individuals see the miracle of God in our midst and allow that truth to be so prevalent in their lives that whatever they face in their lives, whatever challenges, obstacles, whatever successes or tragedies, that they know that there is this God who has joined Himself to us, who has joined Himself to every single one of us, a God who has filled this room right now with scores of Bethlehems, seeking to allow His Spirit to be shared, to shine, and to allow His light, indeed, to bless this darkened world. As we move into this new year, may what Simeon saw be what we see, and may our lives be changed as well by the grace and the mercy of this God who is always with us. To Him and to Him alone be all praise and honor and glory, today and forevermore. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.